There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, y'all. 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. It's officially NFL draft season with Shrine Bowl practices starting tomorrow and the Senior Bowl next week. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the devastated NFL PA Bowl truther. And joining me as always is AJ, hashtag the draft starts in Mobile, Marchese.
The only damn place, Rob. The Mardi Gras capital of the world, some may say.
Today, we're kicking off our 2024 Senior Bowl special by breaking down the American team. That's
7 rounds in heaven with my baby, driving out to KC maybe, looking for Stroud or a Bryce Young.
Who's gonna wear a Hawaiian shirt today?
Who's gonna put ketchup on a stick?
Who's gonna find a steal in the fifth? The home team. Let's go 7 rounds. Let's go 7 rounds together. Let's go 7 rounds forever. And that's a song.
Today's episode of 7 Rounds in Heaven is brought to you by iconic Heartland rock band The Counting Crows, who will be playing the Senior Bowl this year. I believe it's February 3rd at Mardi Gras Park. You don't want to miss it. The concert's free. AJ, what's your favorite Crows song?
Mr. Jones, of course.
That's a bad pick. Mine's A Long December. Alrighty, let's get into it. 2024 Senior Bowl American Team Special. First, quick rundown of the key coaches. This year we got Titans D-line / assistant head coach Trell Williams as the acting head coach. Patriots receiver coach Troy Brown as the OC. Brown safety Ephraim Banda as the DC. And Giants assistant special teams coach Mike Adams as the special teams coordinator.
Mike Adams, the most underrated safety of the 2010s.
I didn't realize, though, when I was putting this that list together, Ephraim Banda walked on at Incarnate Word as a 25-year-old because they, just created a football program.
That's badass. Just,
yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Now he's an NFL position coach. Anyway. Overall, this is a great Senior Bowl class, and I think especially in the trenches.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We've had a couple late dropouts. I think the national team overall has a little bit more weight to it. But let's start with our most excited offensive and defensive prospect to see on the American team.
Okay. I just put this offensive line group. I'm cheating. Get this over. Answer. Fine. How about
Dude, I'm excited to see Jeremy Flax.
You know what? I actually like Jeremy Flax. I think he's good. I was gonna put him. He's my sleeper pick. We'll save that for later. How about I don't know. This whole group on the offensive line, though, man. This is the deepest. Look, this class is stacked. We know it, especially at the tackle position, and it shows up that way in Mobile. You know, you got Tyler Guyton, you got Patrick Paul, you got Javon Foster, on the outside. You got all the big dogs on the inside. Save your Fran Pran, you know.
I think something that's interesting is I swear last year we didn't have any centers. This year there's so many centers. We have 7 centers.
Yeah, there's a lot of centers. Like true centers. Yeah.
Good centers.
Good. Yeah, it is a good group. I feel like that's underappreciated in this class as a whole right now. That is really interesting.
I think of the top offensive prospect on the American team is in the trenches. It's Tyler Guyton, of Oklahoma, right tackle. And I think he's in perfect position to come out of Mobile as a surefire first-round pick. I think
he will.
Senior Bowl or not, he was going to probably be a first-round pick regardless.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's the headliner in a really deep group. Just superbly athletic former tight end, super long, very fleet-footed. He's kind of got everything you want in a guy who's going to really put on a show in one-on-ones.
Absolutely, yeah. And not to jump ahead, I think the edge group is little isn't that strong in this team.
No, I agree. I think it's the Nationals got a better group. There's like a big headliner here, and then kind of
yeah.
But the interior is really good as a defensive line, and I'm most excited to see Byron Murphy, the Texas interior defensive lineman, who I think is the best defensive prospect on the American team. Like Guyton, he's gonna leave Mobile as a surefire first round pick if he isn't one already. Probably ends up being the consensus, I think, IDL1 in this class.
I think so, too. I think people are just lagging behind if they're not there yet.
Yeah, he just... Especially, like, I know his big negative is probably his lack of length, his lack of size, but he's also... Like, Kalijah Kansi was a first-round pick, had a very good rookie year, and Byron Murphy is, like, 30 pounds heavier than him. He's like Grady Jarrett, too. He was on the freaks list. He's a leverage king. Like, his pad level is ridiculous. He plays a lot bigger than he is too. There's so many instances where they line him up at nose tackle, and he just takes on two blocks because of his pad level. He doesn't get blown out of the trenches despite being only 6'1", 308. And he's built to win pass rush. Like, he can win with power. He can win with his quickness, but he also uses his hands well. I think he's going to dominate one on ones.
I think so, too. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's Murphy and the rest of this IDL group, the headliners on defense, the most excited for me to see. And, like, go right next to him is his Texas teammate in Tavondre Sweat, who does not lack length or size, and he's a big old monster, and I think both of them are going to put on a show. And this is a really good group as a whole, you know. I'm a big Darius Robinson fan. I'm a big fan of McKinley Jackson as well, you know, Brandon Fiske. Like, this is a really good group. And I like you could talk about too, not to like get too ahead, but you know, we got true offensive centers too. That's a really fun, to see like them nose up on these guys. That's gonna be a great test. They're going to get a chance to shine because of how good this IDL group is too.
You know, it's weird. And I think it's a product of NIL and maybe the COVID year. So you're seeing more small school guys have that opportunity to transfer up rather than going to the draft. Is there's as we go into our non-FBS guy to watch, there's one. I think there's one and maybe two. They haven't announced what team Southeast Missouri State's Ryan Flournoy, a receiver. They haven't said what team he's on yet. But the American team only for sure has Jalix Hunt, the edge rusher out of Houston Christian. So that's got to be our non-FBS guy to watch.
That's the only one to watch, absolutely. Hunt's an interesting guy, you know, like super athletic, was making a lot of flashy plays. He's the only guy to watch here, yeah.
He's a former safety, started his career at Cornell as a safety, ends up at Houston Christian as an edge player. Really interesting. They had him play like overhang as a big nickel at times too for Houston Christian, but he like yeah I think his athleticism is the biggest thing about him. But he also plays his tail off. Yeah. He's making all kinds of run stops backside. So I'm excited to see how he stacks up.
And like a hell of a test. I know we kind of already alluded to the edge group isn't that strong. This tackle group is. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
This tackle group might go down in Senior Bowl history, you know, and I think this tackle class might go down in NFL history. But anyways, it's a great test for all these edges. They got the star, and especially him, yeah.
He's in a great position, too, because, yeah, there isn't, outside of Chris Braswell, there's, like, not, unless you count Darius Robinson as an edge, there's not, like, an absolute dude at edge.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him, and against a great tackle group. If he wins just a few reps... Yeah. Like not even half his reps. If he wins like 30% of them, like that's gonna show something, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And not to jump, but I do wonder to see, like, you kind of mentioned Robinson, which group is he gonna be in, blah blah blah. But I do wonder if like these interior defensive line guys are gonna get more looks on the outside, not in the 11 on linemen or anything, but just against these tackle groups. I think that's going to be kind of interesting. Like, just one-on-ones.
Yeah, we'll get to it a bit later, but there are a couple of these interior guys who did see snaps at 4 eye, at least, yeah. 5 techs, some true edge. So we'll see. I think that's a good point. Most approve on offense.
I think overall, I'll give you a couple, but overall, I think it's the quarterback group. No?
And I mean, yeah, it's a cop-out, though.
It's a I have two other good names, so, but I want to start here because we haven't mentioned them yet. Connor Bradley, the hometown kid. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, like, I think each individual prospect in this quarterback group has a lot to prove, you know. What is Joe Milton going to look like? You know, can Pratt step up? Can Rattler step up? And what does Bradley look like in this setting, too? Definitely, like, you know, for a year, and even, I guess, the class as a whole, that we thought this senior quarterback group was going to be stacked, especially this team, you know, it's come out a little soft, right? Where, like, loaded Penix and Nix on the other side. And Sam Hartman, too. Sorry to almost forget him. But lots of opportunity for one of these guys to really shine and help himself.
Outside of the quarterbacks, I think one guy, I guess it depends where you are on him, but I think Xavier Leggett's got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
Obviously, absolute stud this year in the SEC, but a late season break, or a late career breakout at the collegiate level is always kind of interesting. But he's 6'3", he's 230-ish. He's super explosive after the catch. You see him win vertically. But I think what he has to prove is his ability to separate as a route runner. Yeah. And I think it's a really interesting setting. I think he is either 1A or 1B in this receiver group on the American team. And, I mean, Rattler, too. Rattler and like two coming out of this week smelling like Leggett. Man, who knows? Maybe he is a first-round pick. Rattler could firmly be a day two darling if he has the type of week I think he's capable of. So
yeah, honestly, not to get ahead, but digging into Rattler again and watching his 2023 tape, I came away pretty impressed. Like,
he's one of my top rated quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't have a top 100 grade on him right now, but I mean, long way to go. But he's my highest rated day three type of quarterback. So that's a good point. I mean, I think the season that Quentin Johnson had is another, like, you kind of just got to shake that off, because I think Leggett's going to get some of that laid on top of him. But super explosive guy. The obviously better at the catch point than Johnson was last year. But, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting setting to see what he can do as a route runner and if he can separate. And you don't get to see too much press, but that's another question as well, you know, how he can do against that. So that's a really good point. I'm going to go with another pass catcher. And not so much that I have questions, but just a really good opportunity for Ben Sinnott to kind of step up and firm himself as tight end three solidly. I don't know if he's going to push Sanders, but he gets a great opportunity here to show what he can do. It's a nice safety group. I like the safety group quite a bit here on the American team. So he's going to have a lot of good looks one-on-one. I'm a big Ben Sinnott fan, and it feels like, I don't know where his stock is right now. It feels like the hype hasn't really been there. Just a rock solid. I think he's a top 100 guy, but potentially, like, you know, top 75 type of guy. But yeah, no, I think he's got a great opportunity here, Mobile.
Most improved on defense, I'm going to go with the guy you already mentioned, Tavondre Sweat. There were times this season where he was getting first round buzz.
Yeah.
And then
you still see it sometimes.
I think the people started to catch on about Byron Murphy, and now he's got it. And I think just he has to prove he can add something consistently as a pass rusher this week. He's got to prove he can play at, I think he was listed at like 360, and he had dropped weight. So seeing what weight he comes in at, how he looks moving, I'm just always weary. Like, I mean, let's look at Jordan Davis, for example. He has not lived up to his selection with the Eagles, right? So I'm always weary of taking nose tackles in the first round. So I think he's got a lot to prove in terms of what he can add as a pass rusher. How athletic is he? What's he come in at? It's going to be a really interesting week for him, I think.
Coach Vic is going to fix that up for Jordan Davis, by the way. Don't worry about that. Well, that's a good one. I think there's a lot of guys with a lot to prove on this defensive side of the ball, and I think that's because of how strong this offensive group is, especially at the tackle and the wide receiver position. So I think just some of the corners. How about, like really, the whole corner group's got a lot to prove. It's not, you know, this group doesn't really have a big headliner. There's a couple of really good football players, but, you know, no one that's, you're like, yeah, that's a top Like, is there anyone in this group where you're like, that's a top 60 dude?
No, but there's a guy who I love, but yeah, no.
Exactly. So, how about, so I'll give you a specific name, and I'm a fan of Chris Abrams' Train, but he seemed like, you know, funny enough, just hype-wise, he was kind of the top dog in the Mizzou corner room, and now it's, you know, everyone's on the Ennis Rakestraw train, who also has dropped out of this week. And I'm not criticizing that, but just saying him, he's got a chance here to go out and show stuff against some really damn good wide receivers, like Leggett, like Ladd McConkey. It's just, I think these corners have a great chance because of, I think the receiver group is great, obviously. It's a hell of a class, and they all got a really good chance to kind of show up with how good this receiver group is.
Which is, I mean, here's a good transition. Who puts themselves in the first round convo this week, and maybe it's a receiver?
Yeah, I don't see, the thing is, like, all the receivers kind of, like, have had, like, obviously Leggett is there, right? We've even seen a little Ladd McConkey, you know, like, so to go back to the old well here, okay, I've been a Cedric Van Pran fan for a long, long time.
This first round center in this, nah, I don't even think he's gonna be center one. That's a, I don't take.
Know. I'm just gonna, I'm shooting in the dark. There's gonna, you're gonna go with like a low old Byron Murphy, blah blah blah. I'm gonna shoot. I'm just taking a shot. Well, if he goes out and has a fantastic week, he's got a chance. I think he's gonna have a great.
I don't know. I think he's not one of those two best centers. I love him. I think he's going to start in the NFL for a long time. But I just think at that position and in this class, like, that's a tough ask. I got an offensive and a defensive one. I think Chris Braswell of Alabama.
That's a good one.
I think you kind of see him pop up at the back end of first round mocks.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Milk toast take. Yeah, thanks. Go on. So he's already there.
But
okay.
He's also, as we already mentioned, he's the best true edge absolutely. On this team. And if he, against this tackle group, if he can put on a show, and he is such a twitchy, explosive guy, and you really saw his pass rush plan come around along this year. Really good converting speed to power. Started using his hands a lot better, can bend a bit too. I think he comes out this week as a top 40 lock, potential first round pick. I think, like, if I'm going to pick a receiver, I think Ladd McConkey over Xavier Leggett comes out of the week as the potential first-round guy.
Are you saying Leggett goes and has a not great week and kind of falters?
No, not that. I just think, look, like, in this receiver class, I just don't feel like Xavier Leggett's a first-round pick.
I don't disagree with you.
I think he's, like, he might be my fifth-ranked receiver at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. That speaks to the depth of the class, though.
Yeah, like, I have Ladd McConkey ranked above him, but they're pretty neck and neck for me. And I just think Ladd McConkey's going to look better.
Absolutely. He's built for the setting. He really is.
Yeah, and because he's white, his speed's still underrated, too.
It is. Yeah, it is.
And, like, my biggest thing for him is there's drops. So if he can go out and have a clean, weak catch in the football, I think that would really help him.
That's a good one. No, I agree with you. Milquetoast takes. I'll give you a Milquetoast one.
I just want to say, I think I like the national receivers better than the American.
Save it for tomorrow's episode, Rob. How about Patrick Paul? I'm gonna stick with the Hog Mollies. It's been there a little bit, but no, we've been longtime Patrick Paul fans. He's put out, you know, great tape after great tape. This tackle class, like the receivers, is absolutely fucking stacked. This group is stacked. But look, it's gonna go. You know, I like the Braswell take because, you know, someone in this edge group is going to show up, but I think more than likely this offensive tackle group is going to handle business. And, you know, Guyton's going to be a star. I think Guyton's going to, you know, just elevate himself big time. Not that he hasn't already, but put himself on that big time stage, you know what I mean, with the common folks. And I think Paul's going to just go out and I think even people who, I feel like there's not enough fans of his. And I think he's going to go and just have a rock solid week, look damn good. And I think he's going to, look, in a weaker class, I'd be like, yeah, this guy gets into the back, you know, into the 20s. I still believe he can, but yeah, it's just tough.
He's going to build fans just after measurements because his arms are reportedly over, like, 36 and 3/8.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is just, like, stupid. It's like DeJuan Jones last year, except Patrick Paul's a better athlete.
Yes.
And DeJuan Jones had a phenomenal rookie year. So we'll see. We should have added a superlative. Who pulls the DeJuan Jones? Great first day of practice in this group.
Okay, give me a name. That's a good one. I mean, that's a bad... Does it have to be an offensive lineman, or can we go anywhere?
No. You can go anywhere. It's got to be a guy who's, like, had some first-round buzz, but could go anywhere from, like, the first to, I guess, the fourth round where DeJuan Jones went.
That's a good one. Okay. Because, I mean, like, I can see some, like, top-end guys doing it and saying, fuck it, that's enough, but...
I got my pick.
Okay, who?
McKinley Jackson.
Okay, that's a good... I was thinking McKinley Jackson. Okay, why?
Dominates with power day one.
Yeah.
Rests on his laurels. Guy who's had some first round buzz, but's also a nose tackle. So you never know. He didn't have quite the explosive breakout year, I think, of me specifically expected. Yeah. So I think he's perfect.
I think Braswell's in that conversation too. You know, we talked about it already. He's going to shine above the rest of his edges. If he goes out and shows he's the class of the group, he's like, fuck this, and walks away.
That's a good pick. Okay, let's quickly through one-on-ones, then we'll get into the positions. What's your – I guess it could be your favorite or what you think will be the best, IOL versus IDL.
Mixing it up. Yeah, no, I think one that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Look, obviously on the defensive line side, I got to go with Byron Murphy, but I want to see him against Christian Haynes, the UConn.
Oh, okay.
Offensive line. Yeah.
I thought you were going to go Van Pran, and that's what I went, Van Pran versus Murphy.
That's a good one, too. That's a very it's hard to pick wrong, I think. But Haynes, UConn, I'm a big fan of Christian Haynes. UConn has not seen anything like the Texas duo, honestly. But they haven't seen anything like Byron Murphy. So just seeing him against that level of competition is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I think he can hold up, but it's a hell of a test.
Yeah, with how few small school guys are here this year, Christian Haynes might be the small school guy to watch.
Yeah, really.
Tackle versus edge, it's got to be Guyton versus Braswell in terms of best. Agreed. Crop.
Absolutely.
Both freaky athletes. Both come from tier one blue blood programs. Both could leave this week as Guyton again. He's a first round guy, but Braswell's not far behind. So that, I think, is the one to watch. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I put the exact same thing. That's a lock.
For more of a B-tier one, I want to see Patrick Paul versus Darius Robinson just because they're both so freaking long.
Do you have Robinson as an edge?
Same with Miles Cole.
Miles Cole is a good one, too. Do you have Robinson as an edge?
I do because I want to see what happens at the Senior Bowl because he's 6'5", 290. But he played edge for me.
Yeah.
He was more on the edge. And then he was never truly inside either. Like, sometimes he'd play like a 4i or a 5, but he was never playing like 3 tech or anything. So no. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think I project him more inside, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, I love him. I'm a big fan.
I think this week's going to do a lot for what I think of position-wise for him.
Yeah.
Running back versus linebacker?
Got to go to the battle of the Jalens. Jalen Ray versus Jalen Ford.
Okay, good.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
Good. Well done.
No, I think Jalen Ford is going to be, I think, spoiler, I think he's going to be the big winner of this linebacker group on this team. And I think Jalen Wright is the top running back on this team by far. Jalen Wright, we've hinted, you know, he's going to be one of the biggest running back risers. He already is. It's coming. He's explosive as hell. But he's still got some stuff to show in the passing game. So seeing him against another athletic player and Jalen Ford, it's going to be a fun matchup.
I went with Jalen Wright, who, yeah, I'm with you. He's the most explosive running back there. Potential. Yeah. I think he's still potentially the first RB off the board. And I went with him versus James Williams, the Miami safety, who's going to be playing linebacker this week. He's just like a condor. He's 6'5", 215.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the reason he's projected more, or at least NFL teams are asking the Senior Bowl to play him at linebacker this week, is like change of direction stuff. And I think seeing how he covers an explosive guy like Jalen Wright will kind of dictate where he lands going forward.
That's a good one.
Finally, receiver versus corner.
Not final. We got tight end safety, but
oh yeah, sorry.
That's my tight end safety is my favorite. I went with, we already kind of talked about it. I went with Xavier Leggett because he's got a lot to show this week. I put him up against Chris Abramstrain. I'm a fan of Abramstrain,
which will be interesting too because Leggett's so big and Abramstrain, smaller guy, played nickel too at Missouri, yeah. So it's an interesting size contrast. I went with Ladd McConkey versus Kalen Carson,
yeah,
Wake Forest corner. I love Kalen Carson.
Yeah,
he's a cover versatile guy who played a lot of pattern match at Wake. I think he's really solid in man coverage, wicked feet, and seeing how he looks dealing with a guy like McConkie could be really fun.
It is. I think that's my, that was my other choice.
Finally, tight end versus safety.
This is a good safety group, too. We haven't talked about it at all yet. I put Ben Sinnott, because I'm a big Ben Sinnott fan. I think he's going to show up huge this week. And I got to put him against Cam Kitchens, because it's a top dog here. It's going to be, you know, I think... seeing the safeties when they have to cover receivers is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I like that was mixed that in, too. But, yeah, no, this is a good group of safeties. And, yeah, Kitchens... I don't know, just Kitchens is going to come out as the top dog. But there's a lot of good guys. I want to hear your matchup.
Yeah, I went with Sinnott, too, because I think he's clearly the top tight end there.
Yeah.
And I went with him against Javon Bullard, who at Georgia was kind of in that Swiss Army knife role, playing a lot of nickel, but can drop back, play safety.
Yeah.
I want to see how he's a physical guy, but not the biggest guy, and I want to see how he looks having a man up on tight ends, not something he did a ton at Georgia.
I put Bullard as my most approved for that, you know, just kind of. And again, they're going to get looks against the receivers too, and that's going to be that's going to be really interesting.
Just going back to what you were saying earlier, this safety group's like hard to stack because there's a lot of guys who are day two guys and will end up on day two.
It feels very underappreciated. Like I haven't seen too many people talk about this safety group, but that's on this team especially, it's very loaded.
There's not like a first round safety this year, probably. Maybe Tyler Newbin, who had been on the Senior Bowl roster, but not sure. Okay, position by position now. Quarterbacks. We got Rattler, we got Pratt, we got Milton, we got Carter Bradley. I think pretty obviously the most talented and highest rated is Spencer Rattler.
Agreed. Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm a big Spencer Rattler fan. I don't have a top 100 on him, but I wouldn't be surprised if I get there. I don't know. Yeah. I came away a lot more impressed than I thought it would be.
Stylistically, how much has changed from his time with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma to going to South Carolina, where they play a way more pro style system, and seeing him like in structure a lot more in a rhythm instead of like these run around off platform chuck it with his wicked arm. Like you still see the wicked arm, but I thought his footwork has taken a huge leap. I think he's really clean processing. I think someone's going to take him on day two.
Yeah. I mean, look, there was 4 years ago, this was a top 10 lock, everyone was saying, right? And the talent isn't gone. And he's, like you said, I didn't watch too much Gamecocks football this year. And I was impressed how much, it was sort of, like, you know, watching that Tennessee offense, Joe Milton tape, and then going to Rattler, it's like, holy cow, this is a real, they're not holding his hand through everything, you know what I mean? And it was nice to see him. Like, his offensive line wasn't good. He got sacked a bunch, but he could have been sacked twice as much because he was constantly getting the ball, you know, just throwing the ball away, making smart decisions. You did see kind of some of that, like he's still got to rein in that hero ball type of stuff. He has a here and there, but he's taking huge strides. I think he's a good prospect.
Yeah, he keeps stuff on time a lot better now, but he still has the ability to do the out of structure, off platform type throws. When it breaks down, like you said, it happened a lot in South Carolina this year. Biggest riser of the week.
It's kind of hard to call this one, I think. I mean, Rattler, probably, but like...
Yeah, but I think like because he's going to be the name to watch going in, and it'll ultimately kind of more be Michael Pratt.
Yeah.
Like, because I think, just looking at it in terms of... I think NFL teams already see Rattler as a day two guy. But Pratt, I think, could be that first quarterback taken off the board on day three.
Yeah, he could.
If he has a good week, he kind of got that... I think that a bit of that Aiden O'Connell appeal.
He does.
Played a lot of football. Operates play action well. He's a little more mobile than O'Connell.
Throws really with really good. Nice touch.
Yeah, like in structure. Like I don't think he's a killer arm or anything, but
average at best.
Yeah, but he's accurate. Like he layers the ball well. I mean, like Joe Milton and Carter Bradley are such a drop off from those two that.
You know? I like Pratt. No, I do like Pratt. He feels like a guy that's going to be a long-term backup, you know, in a good way. But, yeah, no, that's – I mean, like I talked about earlier, this quarterback class didn't shape up as strongly as expected. I mean, there's the top five guys or – I don't know. I lost count. Six guys. And then after that, it's wide open, right? And it kind of falls off hard. But, yeah, no, Pratt's got a good chance here for sure.
Personal favorite for me is Rattler. I really do like him. I think he's like on that same tier. Like, we're going into the week talking about like the Penix and the Bo Nix stuff, but like, I don't think Rattler's far behind them at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I disagree. I'm shocked that you're this high on him, because I was shocked I came away this high on him. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think most approved's got to be Joe Milton.
Yeah, Andy's the sleeper, because if he has a good week, he has this, just in terms of pure ability to throw the football as far as you can, he's got the biggest arm in this class.
I think I saw him he didn't complete the pass, but it was from the left hash about 70 or 75 yards in the air to outside the right numbers.
I saw him throw an orange 100 yards.
out of the stadium and got hurt or something, yeah.
He's 6'5", 240, and a good athlete. Like, yeah. If he can just, like, keep it together for three practices and get himself drafted, I think the NFL's probably higher on him than Draft Twitter because they think they can fix him.
Yeah.
He's super interesting still. I don't know. So I do think, yeah, most approved because he has to show he could be a quarterback that can make a roster. But he's a sleeper, too, because he's got all these tools that a good week gets him drafted.
If I'm Milton, I'm only throwing to Xavier Legette and just chucking deep balls and letting him go pluck it every time. Don't try anything else. No, Carter Bradley's my sleeper. Mr. Hometown. The South Alabama, some may say legend. He's okay.
Weird throwing motion, but a quick release. It's,
yeah, he does.
I like it. I enjoy it. I enjoy him. His dad is Gus Bradley.
He's a Wait, Nepo what? Baby.
He's a Nepo baby. The running back group. Yeah, not like an amazing group, but a fun group.
Quickly, I think you can say that about the class, no? Not an amazing class, but a fun class.
No,
I'm so sorry. Cut this from the podcast, sorry.
As we already touched on, Jalen Wright's the most talented, highest rated guy here. He's just, like, his combo of quickness, lateral quickness, contact balance, and burst really separate him in this group. Yeah. He's also a true junior. He's a little younger.
He turns 21 in April.
Yeah, he's one of the youngest players in the draft. And I think he's like, right now it's like him, it's what, Trey Benson, it's Braylon Allen,
Brooks,
Blake Corum, and Jonathan Brooks. Like, he's in that firmly in that group. And the right type of week, especially catching the football, I think he could come out of here as a top 60 pick.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have him about right around there as my grade right now. Same. Like late second, early third type of back.
Like, he's my biggest riser of the week too, because
yeah, realistically
because of that. Yeah.
I'll give you another riser though. I like Amani Bailey. He's a ton of fun.
Yeah, he's my sleeper.
That's a good pick. It's a better pick. I mean, I could have doubled down, but I try to get one guy for every spot here. Jittery movements, a ton of fun, super quick. Maybe quicker than fast, but had a super productive year, over 1,200 yards at TCU this season. The Louisiana transfer. He's a lot of fun. Only thing is, like, I don't know if I love him catching the ball. That's a big thing he's going to prove this week.
Yeah.
And especially for a guy like him, but yeah.
He's a good, like, he's a compact 5'9", 207, one-cart runner, good contact balance and quickness, presses the line pretty well, too. Just kind of underrated this year, impactful he was at TCU.
I think he's going to rise.
Less Jalen Wright, like, outside of Jalen Wright, my biggest threat, I think Cody Schrader's going to earn a lot of fans.
I put him for my personal favorite. I mean, Jalen Wright's one of my personal favorites, but I love Cody Schrader.
He's probably the best path catching back in this group, I think.
Well, you know, not to interrupt, but I was really impressed with how natural Ray Davis's hands are.
Yeah, that's true too. I think Ray Davis is like going to be the fourth round pick who becomes an NFL starter. I think Schrader though is like in that Rex Burkhead mold, perfect comp. Just in terms of like he's good in pass pro, he's going to catch the football well, and I think he's just going to look like a useful player at the next level.
Schrader's just a really well-rounded back, I feel like. He does everything pretty well.
But speaking of Ray Davis, that's my personal favorite. He is just built to play running back. He's got that running back lean to him.
Yeah.
He runs through arm tackles so easily. I think he's got really, like, underrated vision.
He's got great vision, in my opinion. Really damn good.
In the open field, too, like, finding that open field cutback. I mean, throwing the Florida tape, that might be the best run back tape of the year.
It was too easy.
Yeah. And you're right. Especially down the stretch, he got used in the passing game a lot more. Like, he's a competent pass catching back.
I think... This group, he might have the best hands. Schrader's got good hands, too, but, like, both of them. Like, just natural hands, I thought, of Davis.
Like, I feel like Ray Davis goes to a Shanahan McVay tree coach in the fourth round, and he's going to run for 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Agreed. He's that's a guy that's a lot of teams can, I think, he's just a nice fit for. Most approved, I want Jawar Jordan from Louisville.
Yeah, he's got a couple things working against him. He's really undersized.
Yeah, he is.
He's also 25 years old at the start of his year.
I didn't realize that until I dug in.
He's one of the oldest players in the draft class. Really big time burst.
It's a home run hitter, baby. Yeah, big time.
Can catch the football well enough as like a satellite back projection type player. Yeah. But yeah, I think he's going to really struggle in pass pro. So
yeah,
we'll see.
We hit everything there. Oh, sleeper. Yeah, we move on.
Going to receiver. We already talked about it. The most talented / highest rated to LeGett and Ladd McConkey.
Whatever way you want to stack them, yeah. I think, like, if you call it most talented, I think it's LeGett. If you went, like, more pro-ready, it's McConkey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, McConkey's an easier projection because he's not, like, that power slot. Like, you've seen him run more routes. Yeah. David LeGett's, like, a lot of his production comes on, like, yak crossers or, like, high-pointing the football way downfield.
LeGett's the type of guy that, I don't know, we've fallen for before and he gets stunned by. It's hard. Yep.
Who's your biggest riser that we get, like, not including those two in the first round?
I think there's a couple of good ones here. I mean, I'll save... I think I know who yours is, so I'm going to go differently, okay? I think Jordan Whittington's going to look really good in this setting.
I love Jordan Whittington. Yeah, he's one of my faves.
Yeah.
I think he's a sleeper, too. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
He was overshadowed this year.
Yeah, forgotten almost a little bit in the Texas offense. Like, I don't want to say forgotten, not by the team, but just by the media at large. And is really damn good. Is a really solid route runner. Is, you know, well put together. And that's the type of guy that, like I'm not comparing him, but Michael Wilson last year, you know, similar to, like, just... Does everything really pretty well and runs well. Runs routes well, and I think that's what shines here.
He blocks his ass off too. Yeah. He's kind of got that power slot build. Does a lot of damage after the catch. Big physical guy.
Yeah.
He's one of my sleepers. My biggest riser though is Jaquan Jackson of Tulane.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going with.
He's long been one of my favorites. He can freaking fly. He does damage after the catch because he's such a jitterbug, but he can really separate vertically. I think he took a leap as a route runner this year, too. He's got like, I'm not saying he's on the level of Tank Dell, but he's kind of got the similar traits to, like, that's the type of guy who thrives in these one-on-one situations. He also, like, didn't have, like, ultra production this year for that Tulane team. He was banged up a bit. I think he can end up being like the fourth round favorite.
Yeah, it's a good call. A guy I got a fourth round grade on, and he is my favorite in this group, is Jamari Thrash from Louisville. It doesn't have the explosiveness of Jackson or Tank Dell, but I think his route running can just shine. He's got he's really good on release repertoire, and he's really damn, I think he's going to throw some nasty at these corners, and he's really damn good, you know, just creating separation at the top of his routes. I found his hands hit and miss sometimes, so gotta kind of shore that up. Sometimes really good, and sometimes a little some. I don't even know if their concentration drops though. Just, like, unsure, I think he can go out and be a big riser too.
I think he might be the best route runner in this group.
Yeah, no, I think he is, absolutely.
My personal favorite. I just have a soft spot for Anais Smith. Just I've long loved him. Yeah. I think he is the perfect, like, slot kind of gadget guy. You get him the ball on those jet sweeps. He's played running back. He struggles with drops, but he does a lot of damage after catch. Great return man too. if he can like show off some, and he, you see the ability for him to be a great rail runner. So I think if he can use that kind of jitterbug athleticism to cook on routes, I think he'd really help himself.
Yeah, that's a good one. It feels like he's coming really underrated here.
Yeah. Most approved, I gotta go Johnny Wilson.
Me too. I'm a Johnny Wilson fan, obviously, massive man. You know, I got a little overshadowed by Coleman this year, but had a really good career at Florida State. But yeah, I don't know. We just got to see him in that setting. I don't know. It's like, see how athletic he is. See if he can create any separation. See how he wins, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if he gets any reps at tight end. I'm not a big Johnny Wilson guy, so I'm really...
It's a good question, though.
Interested to see what it looks like. And then sleeper, I went with Whittington and Marcus Rosemead-Jackson. I really do like Rosemead-Jackson.
Me too.
Like, he catches the ball really well. He tracks the ball really well, and he's very strong. He's a former big recruit who just got hurt early in his career.
No, I put Jackson, and I was going to put Jackson here if you didn't have him. Yeah, I like Marcus Rosemead-Jackson. The more you watch Georgia this year, the more he kept popping. I know Bell's shining too, but and McConkey's always solid. But I liked him, and I think there's something legit there with him, like you just said. I think this is his week, you know. But that said, it's a really good group. I mean, we've kind of said that about a few guys, and this is their week. So, yeah, no, but I think Rosemary Jackson can be a big riser coming out.
Tight ends, it's like
let's run through this.
So Benson is the guy who could go top 100. Really well rounded tight end. I think. Solid hands, willing blocker, smooth enough through his routes, has some snap to his routes. Mm-hmm. But the guy I'm most interested in, I think, is Jared Wiley from TCU.
I love my Jared Wiley. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jared Wiley. He's a lot of fun, man. And he was destructive on their playoff run. Had a strong finish to this season too. He's really interesting. I mean, the size, the athleticism, just really interesting too. I mean, all three, like, Jaheim Bell is a lot of fun too. Like, it's a fun group.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell, I think, just got to prove, like, he's a tight end. I believe he's going to work at fullback too this week.
Yeah.
He's just got that weird, like, 6'3", 230 build, Jonnu Smith build. Played running back in slot at South Carolina as well. So just seeing what he looks like out there. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Tackles. Guyton's the most talented.
Correct.
Biggest riser. I'm going with Javon Foster of Missouri.
Me too. Yeah, lock it in, baby. That's our guy.
I think this tackle class is just so damn good that, like, people didn't realize how great he... Like, he was a good prospect coming in, and he really helped himself this year. He was unbelievably underrated for that Missouri team. He's 6'5", like, 320, good feet, mean in the run game. I think got better in pass pro this year, too. I thought his hands and anchor got better. I think he could come out of this as a top 100 pick.
Yeah, I feel like Foster's the type of guy. Like, I'm not saying that's where he should go, but, like... I think in most classes, like, you'd see his name in some first-round mocks, you know? Because, like, oh, this team needs a tackle. Foster's been good in the SEC, blah, blah, blah. Which is all true. like, you know what I mean? Like, Anton Harrison went at the end of the first round. Like, I think Foster's not that far removed as a prospect. Yeah, I think he's a top 100 guy. He's just been lost in the shuffle, and he's so damn good. He's really rock steady tackle, baby.
My personal favorite, though, Brandon Coleman. I've long been on the Brandon Coleman train. I'm interested what positional play. He's 6'6", 320. He was on the freaks list. I love him in the run game. He's pretty raw at times in pass protection. Yeah. I think he's one of the meanest linemen at the Senior Bowl. He's a really strong anchor, though. I think a transition inside could maybe really help him.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman is my most approved. And for the same reasons you just said, I like him as well. But, yeah, where is he going to end up playing the NFL? And how's he going to look against, I mean, luckily the edge group isn't that good, but if he kicks inside, how's he going to look against, how's he going to look in general if he kicks inside, but how's he going to look in pass protection? Yeah, I like Ali Coleman. I think he's got a good opportunity this week. He's just got to make it, you know. I put Patrick Paul as my personal favorite, so we could already hit on Patrick Paul a bunch, though.
I went with him for most approved, just because he's come, he's like a very gifted pass protector, but he is so tall that he kind of gets away with playing a little high.
Yeah.
And he gets away with, like, not the best hand placement. So I'm interested to see how he looks against, like, Chris Braswell, for example.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the tall, long tackles in this setting, it feels like they never just have a, that was a good week. Either they look great or they really struggle. And I think Paul's going to look great.
And my sleeper's Texas is Christian Jones. I really like him. 6'6", 320. I think he's unbelievably strong anchor, a finisher through the whistle. Might be a guard, but we'll see.
Christian Jones is really good. I feel like in any other group, he wouldn't be considered a sleeper. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. I felt bad putting him as a sleeper, but like I don't know who else to play.
I put Jeremy Flax. I threw on the Flax tape. I was intrigued. Big, strong right tackle. pretty solid in pass protection. I was impressed. Yeah, interesting guy. I haven't watched him too much in the Kentucky offensive line. He was really good this year.
Looks like an NFL lineman.
Absolutely, yeah. He built for it.
Interior offensive line. I think the other group has more of the top end talent. But I think Van Pran's the top guy here.
Me too. I love Cedric Van Pran. I loved him for like 3 years now. yeah, we talked about him quite a bit already.
I think just like a lot of the time drafting a center who started multiple years at a high level and has good tape usually results in a starting NFL center.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go. I was just kind of shooting my shot with the first round. I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah. Do you think Van Pran slips? Yeah, and like I don't know. There's a chance he slips out of the top 100 potentially, but
it's also like if he was in last year's center class, he might have been the top center.
Yeah.
But this center class is really good. It's not like a super deep center class, but it's very top heavy.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, my biggest rise of the week is LSU's Charles Turner.
That's good.
Who I think can play zone or gap scheme. I think really good at climbing to the second level on chip and climbs to the linebacker. Moves well. I think pass protection, like if he can kind of get his hand placement down. He's good group to kind of prove yourself against. Yeah, like a good week can really help him. Like I have a top 100 grade on him. I really like him.
Okay, I put Javion Cohen from Miami, by way of Alabama. Does everything pretty well. I thought like he's kind of played around the line too. I think he's just gonna go in and look solid.
I put him for most approved because last year, prior to his redshirt sophomore year at Alabama, mm-hmm. he was like viewed as the top guard and potentially in the 2023 class and ends up transferring to Miami. But yeah, he looks like a future NFL starter to me.
Yeah.
My personal fave is Christian Haynes.
I put Van Pran or Haynes. I split. Yeah, I kind of just split it. We talked Van Pran.
Haynes just like, I don't know. He's just like, he plays a great pad level. He's mean. Yeah. He gets on him and drives you through. Yeah, he's just like the classic Hog Molly run blocker.
Love it. No, I love it. We got a couple of those in this class, too, and they're always so much fun. My most approved, similar to Cohen almost, I put Layden Robinson, who was last year. He had all the top guard talk, and he hasn't really shown it at Texas A&M. What else is new with A&M prospects? But yeah, great group to test himself against on the interior there on the flip side. You know, he's well put together, too. He's you know, he looks the part. Let's just see if he can put it together here.
Sleeper is Bo Limmer for me from Arkansas.
Me, too!
I do really like him.
I like Bo Limmer, too. Yeah.
I was shocked at how well he could get to the second level. Yeah. He's got experience playing center and guard.
Yep.
He's a very good run blocker. He's really tall, so hurts his anchor a lot. His pad level's really high, but...
Yeah, some, like in the run, looks really good. Like you said, working the second level, chipping, getting out, moves well. You know, he's an interesting guy. It's going to be interesting to see if we, like with a bunch of centers here, if we see him more at guard or heavy at guard. I'm not sure exactly where he's going to be in the NFL, but he can do both. I like him. It's like it's going to be like that like day three value pick on the inside, you know?
Yeah. All right, interior D-line, most talented, highest rated, it's Byron Murphy.
Yeah, slam dunk.
Who's your biggest riser of the week? There's a lot of options here.
So... I have Robinson in this group, and I put Darius Robinson here. I think he's just going to go out and ball. I really do. I think he's going to shine. Not that he isn't underrated, he's a little underrated. He's not under the radar though. But I think Robinson's going to go out and just be a monster.
That's a good pick. I stuck him at edge. Mm-hmm. So I'm fair just gonna,
especially with this group, makes sense.
Yeah, that was part of it. It was like. His tape's more of an edge, and this edge group kind of needs him.
Versus it does.
The IDL group doesn't. So he's my personal favorite in the edge group.
That's a smart pick, yeah.
But my biggest riser of the week is Auburn's Marcus Harris, who maybe of all the prospects I watched leading up to the Senior Bowl, I was the most like, oh man, this guy's got something to him. He, man, he just kept beating blocks against Georgia. He is so twitchy. His first step explosion really stood out, but on top of that, like, uses hands to disengage blocks really well. Like, his block destruction is pretty legit. He can attack shoulders well to win with speed as a pass rusher. I think he's a big time guy.
I threw on the Bama game and I wasn't super impressed, if I'm being completely honest. But no, I saw your tweet, so I'm excited to see him in this setting. He's got a great chance. I think it's interesting. Personal favorite, it's hard to choose. Like, Robinson and Murphy are so much fun. I just put Sweat. We've talked about him already, though. You know, he's just a big hog moth. I think he's going to look so much fun, especially the center class. I just love when centers have to go nose-to-nose with these big-ass defensive linemen, and that's going to be a ton of fun. But you're right, he's got a lot to prove as well as a pass rusher. And just, like, I don't know how he looks all put together there.
Personal favorite. I'm going to go with Igboigbe.
I put him for sleeper here.
Is that how you, Justin?
It's weird that
to me, I threw on the tape and I was like, oh, this guy's quite good. It's kind of weird an Alabama interior defensive lineman didn't have a bunch of buzz.
You know what's funny, too? I felt like he, like, kind of almost classic Alabama interior defensive lineman, he had his best stretch at the end of his last year. He kind of was quiet against Michigan in the Rose Bowl, but other than that, he was balling, I thought, down the stretch.
Interesting. So he's 6'5", 290. But they play him like as a true edge at times.
Yeah,
he uses hands quite well. Like I think against Texas A&M, he kept converting speed to power really well as an edge. So I think he's in a position to really look good in pass rush.
I think he's a guy that's gonna come out of this week, and everyone's gonna be kind of knowing his name. I think that's a good one. Yeah, I think it's going to be a big riser. I don't know. Just got that vibe from him. You know, he's
coached up. A lot of these guys are fun, man.
This is too good of a group. Like, it really is. Especially, like, when he flipped to the edge, because the edge is like, ugh. Most approve, I put... I don't know. I thought it was kind of tough to choose. I think you landed with Sweat. But I put Braden Fisk. I'm a big fan of Braden Fisk, but I just... Just seeing him consistently, like, show up as a pass rusher, which he will, I think, but just doing it rep in, rep out, and seeing what he looks like against the run, against this really good offensive line group, but just... I think most improving more so he can be a big riser. He's just got to do it.
Yeah, I put him for a sleeper more so, like, he's overshadowed in this group, but he could come out of this
absolutely
week really helping himself, because he has the length, he has the athleticism. When he uses his hands, he really pops. He could be the Carl Brooks of this week. But the NFL will get it right this time. But my most approved is a combination of Sweat and McKinley Jackson. Just the nose tackles in general, proving that they can be impactful pass rushers.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see where Sweat's stock is after this week. I think this sets it, you know?
Yeah. Edge group. Yeah, most talented. Know. Chris Braswell. Biggest riser. Chris Braswell.
Personal favorite, Chris Braswell.
Personal favorite. Darius Robinson, Chris Braswell, if you put Darius Robinson here. Yeah, Braswell, like, I mean, we were talking about him. He's a freaky athlete and an improving pass rusher. Darius Robinson, you already talked about him. He's just such a fun, powerful player. Most approved, I think, is Miles Cole of Texas Tech, because there's been, like, that. It's been very hot and cold with him. He's 6'6", 280. He's a freak. But, like, he didn't do much at UL Monroe. Transferred to Texas Tech. Had his breakout year this year as a six-year senior.
Yeah.
People are like, he looks like Tyree Wilson. Which, they mean it in the non-derogatory way. So, if he can come out and, like, show he's got a pass rush plan, I think that could really help. Just because the NFL's going to want to mold him into something.
Yeah, I put him for sleeper and kind of for the reasons you said. I know it's a little... You weren't hyping him up, but you know, you kind of touch on all the things that make him really interesting, and I agree with you there. But I just most approve. I put Jalix Hunt just because he's got the chance to go up. He's the only FCS guy on this team, and he's playing a loaded tackle class or group on this team. Like, it just he's got so much to show up to, and you know, he can come away looking amazing. Like you said, if he wins, what did you say, 30% of his reps. He comes away looking amazing, or he can kind of just be outclassed all week. It's a lot for him, yeah.
My sleeper is Eric Watts from UConn. I do like him. He's 6'5", 277. You saw some power against Tennessee. It's a good long arm move. I mean, similar to Hunt. Like I said, UConn is the other small school here, basically. So
yeah. It is, yeah.
Jumping to linebacker, you touched on it a bit, but yeah, the top guy here is Jalen Ford, I think, from Texas.
Yeah, it definitely is. Ford's, like, I don't know, I think he's still got a shot to be, I don't know, does he have a shot to be LB1 still? I don't know about that. Maybe.
No.
He's still wide open. I don't know.
I don't.
Top three,
I
though.
I don't think so.
Top three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He seems like a safe pick to be a fine starter. He's a good tackler. He's a good athlete. Like, enough range. He triggers downhill quickly.
Good chance to solidify himself as top 100 guy.
Yeah, like, let's see what he looks like in coverage this week. That's my big question with him. How does he look in space?
Yeah.
But I think the biggest rise of the week is going to end up being Kentucky's Trevon
Wallace. Me too. Me too. Yeah, I agree with you.
He might be, like, he's a true junior. He is maybe the most upside in the group. Was a blue chip recruit. Had a good year at Kentucky this year.
Yeah, popped consistently.
Yeah, he's like big, rangy guy, 6'2", 240. I have questions about his instincts and ability and coverage, but
yeah, and the one thing that this setting is really good for is the coverability, and the top two guys here in Wallace and Ford kind of have a great chance to show it up. I put my personal favorite, just to talk another guy, I put Tyron Hopper. Same. Who has all the athleticism, I thought looks pretty damn good in space, and this setting can look really, like, can really make him shine.
Yeah, I think he's a really good blitzer too. So I'm interested to see how he looks in those. Remember what Ivan? I don't think anyone will ever do what Ivan Pace did last year, but
yeah.
I'm excited to see how he looks doing that. Most approved, I think, is James Williams.
It's obviously James Williams. He's playing out of, well, add a new position for him. We've already talked about him at, you know, 6'5", 215, you know, the pterodactyl looking. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see if, you know, if he takes this like a duck to water, or if he looks out of place. It's yeah.
Yeah, he's a really interesting, like, he was a huge recruit. Had a good career at Miami. Didn't quite live up to it, but he's also a 6'5 safety, so people wanted to be like, is he Kyle Hamilton?
He's had his moments, for sure. Yeah,
so excited to see that. I like this corner group because there's not like a top dude in it that we get to like a closer, more hype on less buzzy players. And
yeah,
for me, that, like I already touched on, I love Kalen Carson. He's one of my favorite corners in this class. I think he's just so natural mirroring in man coverage, has wicked feet. And I think he's set to be the biggest riser of the week from this group. He's my most talented, biggest riser, and personal favorite.
Yeah, I put Carson as my biggest riser. I put Chris Ingram's Dream as my highest rated, but I have them close, and I split them for personal favorite. I think they're the top two in this group, and you can kind of put them anywhere. We've talked about both of them now already. After them, I think, like, most, if we just want to jump to most approved, I think the Auburn duo.
Yeah, I put Auburn corners. Maya Pritchett and DJ James.
Who, like, both have their moments, both good and bad. Like, I like a lot of Pritchett's tape. It's,
yeah, same.
So I think, like, Pritchett's got a good chance to come away as a winner in this group, but it can go both ways.
Yeah, Pritchett looks quite good in press man coverage. I think DJ James is more of like the long athletic guy.
Yeah.
I think he's either gonna have a great week or look terrible is kind of what I think.
The thing is, though, the receiver group is amazing. Like, they have all of their work cut out for them, and it's going to be – I don't really have a sleeper. Like, I thought this was, like, no really.
I don't mind Andrew Phillips of Kentucky. Plus, Kentucky seems to just, like, every draft of a late day three corner make it. So
that's true. That's a good point. That's a great point, actually.
I thought he was, like, pretty instinctive in off-zone coverage. Like, sit back and read it, and he looks pretty good. So
I just – like you said, the late day three Kentucky corners, you can't sleep on them anymore. So
yeah, we slept on Carrington Valentine.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Safeties. This is a good group. It's a really well-rounded group. I don't think there's a true sleeper in this group because they're all pretty good.
Everyone in this group is super. Like, I just put Elijah Jones. He's the least big name as my sleeper. Like, that's
and he played corner at Boston College though. So, like, I don't know if he's actually, like, I know on their thing it was weird. He's the only player listed as a safety. And not a DB.
Yeah,
but he's a long corner at Boston College. So I just kept him at corner. But beyond him. Kinchins is the top rated guy.
Yes,
but I don't think it's by like a mile or anything.
Who's your next guy after Kinchins?
I have a weird. I think it's Bo Braid. I have a bunch of guys kind of like 2A, 2B, two, you know?
Yeah, it's
I
a fun.
I think it's Boat Braid.
Yeah, I put Boat Braid. I put Kitchens in my top guy. I put Braid for the biggest riser. Although, I don't know. It's hard because, like you said, these guys are kind of tough to separate. And I don't know where this NFL stacks them.
I'm interested, and I think like you already mentioned, like seeing Kitchens in one on ones is gonna be interesting because he's more of that two deep
range
guy. He played more nickel this year than he had the year before, but he's like not like a super athlete. He's super instinctual, but like I don't know how well he's gonna test. So seeing him in one on ones can be really interesting. My biggest riser though is Malik Mustafa of Wake Forest. I love Wake Forest. Just in general.
I put Mustafa and another guy for my personal favorite, so.
Yeah, he, they play him in the box all the time. They just blitz him. They'll just play him as an off-ball linebacker. Next ripped, he's playing single high.
Yeah.
He's a spark plug. He is, I think, one of the best run-defending safeties in this class. Like,
I'm surprised the Love hasn't. Yeah, he is. I'm surprised the Love hasn't really generated for him yet, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. So yeah, personal favorite, I split between him and I like Jalen Simpson. I'm a Jalen Simpson fan, the Auburn safety. Especially like he just kept popping this year and throwing the tape. I think it looks pretty good. I just interesting setting for him. It's a deep group, but I think he can look good.
I think Simpson's like he is very rangy. He's very fluid. So I put him for most approved just because he's really small.
It's true.
He's at like 6 foot 175, which he doesn't look that small.
He doesn't look it.
So I'm like worried, will he get like bullied? Like I need to see what are we gonna have to project him more to a corner? Like think he's got a lot to prove because the tape is good. That's my concern.
I do think he could play corner. He kind of has that skill set, but yeah, no, that's a good point. I mentioned my most approved is Bullard already. We talked about that. Was Mustafa your personal favorite?
It's him and Boat Braid. I think Boat Braid's one of the most well-rounded safeties in the class.
Too.
I think he's one of the most instinctual, both in terms of coverage
coming downhill.
Yeah. Like they're on the Michigan game. Those pretty nuts. He's rangy. He tackles well.
Best player Michigan played. Yeah.
Well, him and Indiana linebacker Aaron Casey.
Absolutely. Those are the two best players in the Big Ten, I think. Yeah.
Aaron Casey, speaking of the Shrine Bowl, Aaron Casey, the most underrated player in the Big Ten this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's not close.
But sleeper, Tyke Smith?
That's a good one. Why not?
I feel like he's asleep. Because Javon Bullard is the Georgia safety everyone's going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And Tyke Smith had this weird career where he was big time at West Virginia. He transferred to Georgia, didn't really play for a bit. Now had a great senior, redshirt senior year, and he's super physical, like a feisty nickel type. I'm excited to see him.
It still felt like he didn't get the credit in the Georgia defense, though, either.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Is that everybody?
That's it. Yeah, I think so.
Save the rest of your takes for the national team?
We'll do.
I can't wait to do our DeJuan Jones of the national team.